T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yes, it is Bowerly with you on News Radio 930 WBEN. And David Bellavia should be back at the end of this month and the beginning of September. There will be some fits and starts along the way, but David should be back again end of August and beginning of September. And we will keep you posted as to the specific dates on News Radio 930 WBEN. So I thought I'd pass along the good news first. And as you know, once again, the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo is in the news. The lawsuits, the opening of the windows in order to file said lawsuits against the church. And I find myself, and I explain this periodically whenever we do a show like this, I find myself at something of a disadvantage, because the majority of people of faith in this area are Roman Catholic, and I am not Roman Catholic. And obviously that does not mean that I don't care about children. Who doesn't care about children? But as far as having that direct relationship with the Roman Catholic Church, or that direct spiritual relationship with people who are representatives of the church, I do not. In fact, this will probably get me into trouble with quite a few of you, but personally, on a personal level and on a personal note, I'm very fond of the bishop. I enjoy his company. I enjoy his conversation, and I think he is a good man. Is he a perfect man? Is anybody a perfect man? I doubt it. But the question is, in particular, geared to those of you who are of the Catholic faith, should the bishop step down from his position as the spiritual leader, if you will, of Catholics in Western New York? Has he lost the credibility that you would need as a member of his flock, as a member of the Catholic Church? And frankly, this is one of those things, this is one of those issues where I am going to have to plead absolute and abject ignorance. And it's ignorance based on the fact that this is, it is not my faith. So I don't know what to tell you. It is really a question that I think is best answered by people who are of the Catholic faith. And for as much as I personally enjoy the bishop, I personally enjoy his conversation, I personally enjoy his company, there may very well be things that, because of my prejudicially positive feelings toward the bishop, that I'm just not seeing or I'm just not grasping. And I hope you will indulge me my ignorance and indulge me my inability to quite, if you understand, cohese the two between the man and what he does for a living as the Bishop of Buffalo. Do you believe the bishop has the requisite authority and the requisite credibility to continue as the Bishop of Buffalo? Now, I don't have any special information on this. I don't have any breaking news on this front to pass on to you. But obviously, given his years, given his previous experiences in the church, I mean, do I think it is going to be a long bishopric of the Bishop of Buffalo, Bishop Malone? Well, I doubt it. Does part of me believe that he was sent here to kind of see the Diocese of Buffalo through what was going to be a very, very contentious period? Yeah, there's a part of me that believes that. But for those of you who are of the Catholic faith, does he still command your respect as the Bishop of Buffalo? And we can take this actually a couple of steps further. Obviously, lawsuits are going to be in the news quite a bit. They've already been in the news quite a bit as people seek legal redress for the wrongs they experienced in some cases many, many years ago, including, I might add, people I know and people I know quite well are very prominent the plaintiffs in some of these lawsuits against the Catholic Church. The phone number is 803-0930. That is 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And there are, you know, larger issues that come along with this, and that is, has the sexual abuse scandal within the church affected your faith? I mean, and it's a little bit different, I think, anyway, than something like the Boy Scouts or some secular organization, because the church for so many people is just so all-encompassing and all-inclusive, not just of life in this, the temporal plane of our existence, but also the spiritual plane of our existence. For some people, the church is, of course, the be-all and end-all, and has been the be-all and end-all of your life. And I forget who it was who said it this morning, but you know, the times have certainly changed, and for the better, I think, in this regard, because there was a time where if you would have come home and you would have said that Father so-and-so did such-and-such to you, where your own parents might have doubted you and might have said something to the effect of, well, how dare you say that about Father so-and-so? How dare you say that about Monsignor so-and-so? But now there seems to be a greater, based on experience and based on knowledge, there seems to be a greater acceptance of the fact that, yes, even people in these positions of both spiritual and temporal authority can do some pretty dastardly things and countenance some pretty dastardly things. If you have been a victim of this, if you've got thoughts on whether Bishop Malone is the guy to see the Diocese of Buffalo through this, if you've got thoughts on whether this has affected your faith or your views on the Catholic Church, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. We've certainly talked about this in other contexts as well. Specifically, I recall shows we've done on the Boy Scouts. But, you know, some of the stories that I've read, in particular, one that I've read from somebody who is personally known to me about the absolute abuse and the depredations and degradations through which this individual was put, really, they're so graphic and they're so detailed, I really don't even want to read them or even recount them on the air, other than to say that they made my heart sick, and they made, I think, my stomach sick as well, because anytime you start talking about children and who are well below any age of consent, and you talk about an authority figure taking advantage of somebody who is well underneath the age of consent, and somebody who is in such a position of earthly power as well as spiritual power, you know, there are, I think, special considerations that come into mind. I mean, like I said at the beginning, for some people, the church is the be-all and end-all. I don't happen to be one of those people, but I'm sure we have people listening in the audience for whom that is the case. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And then there are the larger issues, and maybe even the more philosophical issues. Can justice ever be done? Really, can enough justice ever be done for the victims of child sexual abuse? Because even if somebody gets, let's just say, what would an arbitrary amount of money be? $2 million, $4 million, $5 million? No matter how much money you're talking about, especially after the lawyers take their rather significant piece of the pie, there is nothing. And this does not mean that they get away with it or you want them to get away with it, but there is just nothing that is ever going to make somebody whole, W-H-O-L-E. There's nothing that is going to make somebody whole again. Once you have experienced that kind of situation, once you have experienced that kind of degradation and that kind of betrayal of trust of somebody who should be an authority figure, there is just no amount of money that is ever going to be able to buy that back. You cannot buy back innocence that you once had that was unfairly and without any reason that you are responsible for stolen from you. And that is just one of the many facets and aspects of this kind of a tragedy, is the lost youth that people have experienced. Will the bishop, should the bishop survive this particular situation? Should the bishop resign? Should he step down? Is he the guy to see this church through this particular era in its time? Should he walk away? Should he let somebody else take over? Or do you have every faith, if you will, that Bishop Malone is going to be the guy to properly oversee exactly, this whole mission the church has of restoring credibility, which, of course, brings us to the question, is there anything the church can do, in your mind, to restore credibility? And, you know, we've had similar conversations with other organizations, such as the Boy Scouts, over restoring credibility once it is lost, especially over something that is such a delicate and sensitive issue. There's one thing I just can't stand talking about, honestly, it is kids being the victim of child sexual predatorial behavior, because a child, you know, should be innocent. A child should be as pure as possible for as long as possible. Unfortunately, in the era in which we now live, we're finding that kids are more and more and more exposed to more and more and more adult stuff in a shorter and shorter and shorter window, given everything that is available on the internet and through mass media. And I'm not going to sit here like a Luddite and pretend that the internet is some horrible, horrible thing. But, you know, let's face it that, you know, it's not, how do I say this? 2019 is not like it was even in the year 2000, and certainly not like it was in the year 1975. Your kids have such a narrow window now of innocence that it is, it's really tragic, you know, with everything that is out there and in full view. And it's one thing what adults do and what adults enjoy, you know, the grown-up world, versus what should be, at least to some extent, the sanctity and the purity of the childhood world. So much has changed, and so many of our kids are being robbed of just the innocence of being a child. You know, the innocence, if you will, of not knowing. Maybe even sometimes the innocence of ignorance, which, looking back on our youth, might not have been all that bad, for as curious as we were. Now, any question that a five-year-old has is easily answered with a simple Google search. Let's go to David first up in Tonawanda. David, you are on WBEN. Welcome.
Thanks, Tom. I'll keep this short and sweet. I am not a Catholic. I have never been a Catholic. I've not fallen away or whatever. This witch hunt has got to stop. I am fed up with the stupidity of it. When these people talk about, well, I didn't come forward back when it happened because I was so ashamed. You ought to be ashamed to come forward now and admit that you were that stupid.
Well, it was a different time. I mean, even I can tell you that. It was a different time back then, even in the 1970s and 80s and maybe even in the 1990s, than it is right now. I don't think that somebody who failed to come forward when they were little kids back in the 60s or 70s, I don't think it's a question of their lack of mental acuity, but it's almost like, what do you do when the very pinnacle of somebody who is supposed to be an authority figure has let you down and betrayed you?
Okay. There are a lot of facets to this issue for sure. But we can't keep going on with this year after year after year. And I'm glad that there's a limit on this now. I don't want to see any more gold diggers.
So you think this is a question of people looking for the almighty dollar, even if they weren't victims?
A lot of them.
Yeah, but without any specific case being mentioned, this is your general feeling that these people are nothing but gold diggers?
Yeah.
See, I'm familiar with some of these people who have been involved in some really serious depredations against them, and I would not classify them as gold diggers. I would affect them as grown-ups who have, or I would describe them, rather, as grown-ups who have lived very, very productive and successful lives, but who nonetheless have had this horrible shadow in the background of their existence, that horrible shadow of being deprived of the sanctity of childhood, for want of a better expression.
Okay, well, there's another side, and I've given you mine, so thanks.
All right, thank you. All right, he says that the people stepping forward are gold diggers, and he wants this situation. He wants this situation to end. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Is this, in fact, a witch hunt, or is this, in fact, going after people now in a different climate, in a different era, for behavior that was, at the time, actually not countenanced, condoned, or even legal, but now there are actual mechanisms to seek redress, and there is an increasing awareness that, yes, things like this that used to be whispered about in people's living rooms are now wide open for people to read about. I mean, if you've ever read some of the first-person accounts of people who've been molested, they're pretty ugly, to say the least. Let's go to Charles in Buffalo on News Radio 930 WBEN at 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Charles, you are on. Hello. What do you make of this?
Well, I just think that the person who just called in, and I didn't get his name, doesn't understand what it's like to go through abuse by someone who is above you and in power. And I have a very close relative. I don't need to give too many details because we haven't come forward, but, you know, as far as out in the open, and her family doesn't know, but her accuser or abuser, I should say, you know, threatened her with, you know, telling her parents, threatened her with changing grades, and she lived with this for 20 years. And to make a statement like he just did is an ignorant statement. People didn't come forward, and people don't come forward because they're looking for money. People come forward because the statute of limitations is gone. She can't do anything about it criminally. But, you know, she has kids and doesn't want a monster and something that happened to her to happen to someone else. So to say.
Well, this window opening, as you well know, certainly changes everything. It's not going to change the pain that happened, but at least it can change the pain of having some kind of redress for the agony that took place.
And at least some accountability for someone who has continued to abuse other people over that time. And it's not a well, I just didn't want to come forward because I was lazy. They don't want to come forward because you don't want to relive the pain that was years of abuse at the hands of someone that they should have trusted.
What do you think about the idea that, let's say 30 years ago, somebody who came forward saying, Father so-and-so did this to me, their own parents might not have believed them, but now there seems to be an increasing awareness that, yes, this kind of stuff actually did and does happen.
You're 100% correct. And the individual I'm speaking of, their parents don't even know it. And they're in their 30s now, and their parents don't even know, and there's various reasons why she doesn't want to tell them, but, I mean,
Well, not the least of which is it is embarrassing and people don't want to be stigmatized. However unfair that stigmatism is, people don't wish to be stigmatized because there still is this belief out there. I'm afraid there is still this belief out there that in some way, shape, or form, well, they must have done something to deserve it, or they might be just making it up because of financial considerations, which I don't buy.
No, and those are ignorant comments made, you know, from someone who didn't live it. The pain and just the memories and everything is, you know, I didn't live it, but as someone who loves this person now, I'm upset by it every day. And
I understand, and you cannot, you know, no matter how much money is involved, you simply cannot rescue a childhood that has been smashed into smithereens by horrible behavior.
Right.
All right, sir, thank you very much for the call. And one of the people I know who came out, in fact, he was on this show not all that long ago, maybe about a year or so ago, Gary Astridge, who is Ringo Starr's official drum historian. Gary is a dear friend who also plays drums with the BBC, Buffalo's Beatles connection. Gary Astridge says, "We're all part of a club that none of us want to be a part of, and unfortunately, we are. I know for myself, I have always felt like, and I still do, felt like a misfit. I know for me, at one point, I could feel that my soul went dark, and it's been that way my whole life. I find myself, like Kevin said, just kind of fake smiles, but there's no joy. I've had a lot of good things happen to me in my life, and I should be very, very happy, and I'm not. I'm dead inside, and I know that a lot of these people feel the same way. I would urge those who had something to something happened to them, you've got a year to come forward." That is the voice of one of the victims of childhood priest sexual abuse. I've read actually his, don't know if that I read his legal deposition or affidavit, but I did read a story that he wrote, an account he wrote of what he went through, and it was gripping and it was also disgusting at the same time. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Next up, we have Larry in Buffalo. Larry, you are on WBEN. Hello.
Hello, Tom. I've been waiting a year to get this off my chest. I have 2 points. First point, well, I'm 66 years old. First point, you cannot blame Bishop Malone for the dire straits that this diocese is in. He hasn't been here long enough, and all this abuse happened before he even got here. So how can you pin the blame on him? That's my first point. Second point, I come from a parish where I was an altar boy for almost 12 years, where three of the accused priests were part of this whole investigation. One of them is deceased. One of them is a very good friend of mine. He used to take me to dances along with six or eight of us every other week. Out your area, as a matter of fact, in St. Amelia's. He was a perfect, what do you call him, people, you know, the people that watch over the kids and everything.
Chaperone?
Chaperones. And I sat next to him as close as I could get to anything, and he never, ever laid a hand on me. He used to grab your thigh once in a while like the old wrestling move, the claw. But that's all he ever did. We all knew he was a little feminine and this and that. But I know myself, there's me among probably at least a dozen of us guys that grew up together. You know, we knew he was kind of weird and stuff, but he wasn't that way. Not at all. And I firmly believe that. And I know I knew the guy. I was an altar boy under him for years.
Right, but you do realize that that whole grabbing the thigh thing is going to have people calling in saying, is this guy nuts?
You know, my father used to do that to me, too. What the hell? You know, it's ridiculous. That's sexual abuse?
It could be. Let's put it this way. Is it something that you would do today? I doubt it.
Well, you know, depending on the person, but, you know, that's the way I was raised. My father used to grab me in a leg and, you know, and he was a priest, but he was a good man.
I dare say that if today a priest were to do the claw on somebody's leg, there would probably be a suspension and an internal investigation of epic proportions because of, well, what we're talking about today in part.
Well, you know what, Tommy? This tells you how times have changed. What you did back then, you can't do today because it's considered obscene, and that's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, a lot of it, you were there, I wasn't there, and it depends on what followed and if any comments were made of a lewd and lascivious nature. By the way, this is going to be something that I'm going to be interested to see is how exactly somebody goes about proving their innocence after so much time has gone by. because it's very, very difficult to prove that you are innocent to begin with. Granted, it's always on the prosecution or the people who are going after you to prove, you know, what you did to a preponderance of evidence in a civil situation. But it's almost impossible to prove innocence.
Well, this is what bothers me. He's present. He's deceased. He can't defend himself. And I have nothing but honor and respect for this man. He was such an influence on my life. And to be accused of something he's being accused of, to me, is utterly ludicrous.
And this is obviously somebody whose name has come up?
Oh, yes. He's one of three priests from the same parish.
Ah, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay, enough said on that front. So as far as your faith, has this affected your faith in any way, shape, or form?
Oh, it hasn't accepted my faith. It's accepted. It's bothered my faith in society. How I don't know. You want to call it liberal or whatever, but you know, it's the old. You know, it's like I said before. What was considered common back 30, 40 years ago is considered, no, you can't do that anymore. That's basically, you know, what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, in the case of one of the stories that I read before I took your telephone call, believe me, it went well beyond putting a hand on a leg. It truly, I don't want to go into graphic details, but it went well beyond that.
Well, I personally, and this of this particular accused priest, I personally, in my heart, in my brain, and I knew him a long time, and always he was my advisor. He would never do such a thing. And I personally think somebody's gold digging out there trying to get some coin. That's what I think.
Well, we'll see what some other people have to say. You are the second person to say that so far. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So what does your gut tell you? Legitimate complaints or gold-digging attorneys and gold-digging clients? Here's Steve in Eden on WBEN. You are on. Hello.
Well, I'm number three. I guess that's the number. I'm thinking this is a combination witch hunt, gravy train. Situation. There have been.
I'm sorry. You said witch hunt gravy train.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, the scores of these attorney firms descend upon courthouses and whatnot whenever these situations arise, and priests are never given an opportunity by nature and by direction. Priests may not. Clergy may not speak up for themselves. And so they're left out there to drift. I was in the seminary for 2 years. They brought in a tough Franciscan priest. I won't give his name. In the early 80s to sort of clean up or at least change the nature or the kind of seminary they accepted there.
What needed changing, just out of curiosity?
The demeanor, the behavior of seminarians, the way they were perceived, the personalities, what have you, by the laity. They wanted people who are more involved in, you know, normal things like sports, to talk about sports. Regular things, things that people, the lady, could relate to. And certainly, getting back to what the gentleman said before this, he said something about he was a little weird, a little swishy, trying to get away from that. And Christ the King used to be known sort of as Christ the Queen before 1980. I hate to say that, but a lot of people were coming out of the seminary. The lady couldn't quite relate with, and this father did a great job in putting in scores of sort of sexual orientation classes, how to deal with celibacy, how to funnel your energies elsewhere, you know, regarding sex, and sex drives, what have you. I mean, these are all courses developed by wonderful psychiatrists and all that have been employed by the church. But in L.A., in Los Angeles, fully 60% of sex abuse charges brought against priests were immediately dismissed. Either the priest was dead or wasn't in the parish when the accuser said he or she was abused, what have you. And it got down to 15% were legitimate, were cases where that deserved legitimate investigation. And, I'm in Scranton, Pennsylvania right now for a bit, and it's rampant everywhere in Pittsburgh and Scranton, this witch hunt. And it is a sort of a gravy train. How do you prove that a deceased priest, a priest who can't speak up for himself, did what you said he did? I went in the seminary. I'm not going to say that people weren't gay in the seminary or acted unusually, but the character of 99.9% of the seminarians I knew wouldn't allow them to ever do something like this. And I just find it hard to believe that there's much credence to this. And I've been labeled by people as a guy with his head in the sand, and how can you say such thing?
Well, we'll see what some other people have to say about that. Thank you very much for the call. Say, I know some of the people who have made the claims, and I know one of them quite well, and the chance that he is not telling the truth, I would give that zero probability with what he has said and what I've read that he has written. Can I say that for everybody? No. Do I know it for a fact? No, but I do know this person as, you know, if I wanted a character witness, this would be the kind of guy that I would call on for myself as a character witness, because I know he would tell the truth, in which case maybe I wouldn't want him as a character witness. Let's get back to the calls, obviously talking about the situation with the church and the window being opened and the allegations made against numerous priests and people connected with the Catholic Church. And they have been made also against people involved in schools, also involved with the Boy Scouts and similar organizations. Here is who would be next, Mike in Buffalo on WBEN. Mike.
Hi, Tom.
Michael.
Now, okay, sorry, I'm driving through a tunnel here. Hey, I just want to make two quick points. First thing in reference to your last question, is there a chance that someone's just taking advantage of the situation for money? Yeah, it's pretty much possible in all aspects of life. But a second point I wanted to make to the very first caller. So I had my grandfather. He was a child back in the 30s and 40s, and he had told me once that he had a run-in with a Catholic official, and it wasn't an ongoing thing. He managed to get away, and he did go forward with it, but he told my great-grandfather, his father, and upon telling him, his father beat him pretty much till he was unconscious. So
your relative was beaten by his father because the relative didn't want to hear what your father or your great-grandfather had to say?
He said that his father told him a priest would never do something like that and not to make things up. And he kept quiet about it pretty much all his life till he was in his 60s and 70s. And people say, why don't you come forward? Well, you know, things like that happen. It's people who are younger are going to think, well, I'm just a kid, you know, who's going to believe me? So, you know, there's always that aspect of, you know, to look at it.
Yeah, I've heard that kind of story before, and you know, fortunately, I think society's attitudes have changed to the point where people can accept that there are some degenerates in all lines of work that connect the kids.
So that's pretty much all I wanted to say, just a quick, simple point. But, yeah, I mean, as far as 100% of people, you know, just doing it for the money, I mean, the people that come forward, they have to come forward in front of society. You know, they're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be ashamed. Most people aren't going to do something like this for fun.
And they also put themselves at legal – I'm not an attorney, but they put themselves at legal jeopardy as well.
Yeah, and I mean, even if they do get a settlement, it's like that's not going to erase everything they've been through. They might have a pile of money, but then what? They still have to live with it.
Well, unfortunately, though, money is the only way we can really compensate people, whether it is a physical injury or a psychic injury. Money is what we have to compensate people with. You can't give people new starts. You can't give people new lives, and you can't give people new backs or limbs. It's just, it's money.
Yeah. But thanks, Tom.
All right, thank you. We'll take some more calls on this as we move along this afternoon on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, we can take the August heat.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.